I have a friend that I met back in 1986. I'd like to tell you that I was in preschool, but I had just graduated college back in 1986. And this guy became a friend. You know, you have friends for a season, but he became a friend for a lifetime. We've stayed in touch, even though we've lived miles and miles apart at different times. But he's somebody who has been incredibly successful in business. And because of that, he has invested in my ministry and been generous in ways that I can hardly even believe. Just a few weeks ago, he sent $4,000, he and his family did, so that in January, I hope, we'll find out for sure, I'm going to be able to go to Kenya and Uganda and do some teaching early next year. He sent another $4,000 to help support a young adult retreat that happens every year in Colorado that I get to speak at because he believes in my ministry. He and his family have just been blessed so abundantly, and they see their business success as an opportunity for ministry. He and his wife, their son and daughter-in-law, daughter and son-in-law, they all kind of work together to use their money so that God's work can advance. Occasionally, I'll reach out to them with opportunities, and they believe that they're able to help make a difference in that way. But now, here's the deal. They don't just throw money at everything that comes along, right? Every project, they don't say yes to everything. They've turned me down over the years for different things. They set up a foundation out of their business, and when requests come from family, from friends, from church members, whatever it is, they make decisions together of how to invest. They consider each opportunity based on their goals, how they want to use their money, and is this the best thing for them? Is it the wisest thing? Now, don't get me wrong, each of them also supports their local church because they think that's important too, but the money in this foundation is above and beyond their regular tithes and offerings. And it's not just about giving money away. It's about using wisely the money that they have for maximum impact. And you know, the truth is, they're able to invest more in ministry than most of us in here, maybe more than all of us in here. They've decided, though, that they want to do the best they can with what they have, and that's a principle that goes for all of us. Whether we have a little or a lot, it's doing the best we can with what we have to honor the Lord. The Old Testament book of Proverbs says this in chapter 3, verse 9, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. Then he will fill your barns with grain and your vats will overflow with good wine. Honor the Lord with your wealth. Whether you have a lot of wealth or you have very little wealth, we can still honor God with what we have. It's an opportunity to bless him and to advance his kingdom. There's an old story about a preacher who had gone to visit this farmer, and he said, hey, Sam, let me ask you a question. If you had $1 million, would you give $100,000 to the Lord? He said, oh, preacher, you know I would. He said, if you had 1,000 acres of land, would you devote the produce from 100 acres to the Lord? Oh, well, sure. He said, Sam, if you had 10 cows, would you sell one cow and give it to the Lord to help advance the kingdom? He said, preacher, that's not fair. I have 10 cows. You know, it's easy to say what you would do if, right? It's a whole different thing when it starts getting personal. I believe this proverb about honoring the Lord with our wealth goes for all of us. Again, whether we have a little, whether we have a lot, it's just about honoring God with what we have. But it also goes for churches. Okay, the body of Christ, the church, man, as leaders, we have a responsibility to honor God with the resources that we have. Nelson Christian Church needs to use the resources that you provide to have the greatest impact for the Lord. Last week, we talked about a group of very generous Christian people that are written about in the book of 2 Corinthians. Man, these believers were from Macedonia, and frankly, they were dirt poor. But they heard there was a famine in Jerusalem, and the people there were really suffering, and so they pleaded for the opportunity to be able to share with those believers who were suffering. Despite their own limited resources, they wanted to help. They wanted to make a difference. They wanted to participate in this special offering. And so this morning, we're going to kind of continue in this series, this three-part series. It's called From Wall Street to Your Street. And the whole concept is, where does our money go? Where should it go? Where can it do the most good? And how does how we use it, what does that say about us? I want to talk today about the intersection of generosity and responsibility, because those two things need to intersect. How does the generosity of the church members intersect with the responsibility of church leaders? I think it's important that we talk about this. The truth is, there have been some high-profile ministries in the past few decades that have really caused great scandal and done a lot of harm to the body of Christ. And so financial responsibility is really, really important. There's been a lot of strain on churches and other nonprofit organizations because of mismanagement. You ought to want to know what happens when you give money here. And so we're going to take some time to talk about that. Have you ever thought about how easy it is to make a rash decision with money and, man, then deeply regret it later on? I was reading online a story. It's been several years ago now. And there was an article about Miss Teen Louisiana. I'm not going to say her name or put her picture on the screen because I'm hoping that she's a little sharper now than she was when she was 18. And frankly, I wouldn't want her sitting around talking to her friends about the dumbest thing I've ever done. So I'm not going to throw her under the bus and put her name up there of the dumbest thing she's ever done. But while she was Miss Teen Louisiana, she and three of her friends were at a restaurant together, and they decided to skip out without paying the bill. And because they were caught, she was stripped of her title. Now, I'm not making any accusations about the intelligence of beauty queen winners, nor of people from Louisiana, okay? I'm only saying that the reason they got caught is because beauty queen forgot her purse when they ran out of the restaurant, and she had to go back in and get it, and that's when they got busted. Okay, everybody makes dumb decisions. That dumb decision started long before she forgot her purse, but you get the idea. Money really reveals character in so many ways. And it can be so polarizing in what it does to us. I mean, sometimes money brings out the best in people. And I've seen that happen. You've probably seen that happen. These Macedonian Christians we talked about last week, man, they were in such poverty, but they shared generously because they saw money as a tool to honor the Lord. And we've probably all seen examples of people maybe who came into money and just did something really generous with it. I read an article in Time Magazine. I just love this. There's a children's cancer hospital. I believe it was in Texas. And they got an envelope one day in the mail. It was totally unmarked, no return address or anything. They opened it up, and inside was the winning game piece for the McDonald's $1 million game. Somebody won that contest, stuck it in an envelope, and mailed it to a children's cancer hospital. Incredible. Sometimes money does that to people. It brings out the best, but you know what? It can bring out the worst in people too, right? Families fight over the inheritance. Man, I've seen that get ugly. Sometimes couples end up getting divorced because of money problems and issues and pressure they just can't handle. There are people who steal from the company because they just get in such despair. Years ago, I was preaching at a different church, but I was teaching a men's Bible study. And man, I love these guys. These were good friends of mine. And there was a guy in that group, I mean, just a sharp guy, nicest guy in the world you'd ever want to meet. I had no idea he was in financial trouble until he went to prison for robbing a bank. Are you kidding me? He got in so much trouble that he just lost his mind for a few minutes. And he's going to spend a long time getting that sorted out. So money can bring out the best, it can bring out the worst. That's why I think we have to make sure that responsibility and generosity intersect. Listen to what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, beginning in verse 16. He's talking about the Corinthian believers, the believers in Corinth. That's where he's writing to. He says, "Thank God he has given Titus the same enthusiasm for you Corinthian people that I have. Titus welcomed our request to come visit you again. In fact, he himself was very eager to go and see you. We're sending along another brother with Titus. All the churches praise him as a preacher of the good news. He, this other brother, was appointed by the churches to accompany us as we take the offering to Jerusalem. It's a service that glorifies the Lord and shows our eagerness to help." Now, just make sure you understand what's going on. They're taking up money to help the believers back in Jerusalem. He says, Titus is coming to get the money. Oh, and we're sending another really faithful guy along with him. Verse 20, We're traveling together to guard against any criticism for the way we are handling this generous gift. We're careful to be honorable before the Lord, but we also want everybody else to see that we are honorable. Paul says, look, we're sending Titus. He's going to gather up some money, but we're not going to send him by himself. That would not be fair to him. He could be tempted by all that money he's hauling around, or somebody could come along and say, man, there was a lot of money there. I don't think there's as much there now as there was before. I wonder if Titus took some. So he said, we're going to send somebody else along so that everything will be handled in a responsible way. You know, here at Nelson Christian Church, Pat Jackie is our treasurer. And she's usually the one who ends up counting our money each week. I'm telling you, Pat is so honest, I would not hesitate today to give her my bank account information, my social security number. She'd probably handle everything better than I do, for sure. In fact, if something ever happens and Gail goes on strike, I'm going to beg Pat to take over my checkbook because she would handle it a lot better than I would. All I'm saying is, man, I have no doubt in my mind that she handles that well. But I will tell you this too. She often ends up counting by herself. We used to have two services, and she kind of had a team that did that. And the way it's just kind of worked with three services, a lot of that falls on her. So I'm kind of saying we probably, especially after third service, would love to have somebody step up to help her count. Just because it's the most fair thing in the world to do to her, for her, right? So she doesn't have that burden of, oh, I'm the one, and I don't ever want anybody to question. But you know what, man? Every week she has detailed reports that she gives to the elders. And every month she has a detailed report to give to our ministry leaders. And every year Don Dollins, one of our elders, does an audit of all of our accounts. Because, man, we want to be above reproach. None of our staff handles offerings. We don't sign any checks. Man, when Mark and Hannah and Joe and I spend money out of the budget, we have some freedom to do that. And we do have some church credit cards that we can use with a spending limit on them. But above and beyond expenditures have to be approved because we want to be responsible. Churches every year go under because of money. Pastors lose credibility because of money. And we don't want that to happen. Here's the bottom line for today, okay? Just very simple. It's in a mathematical formula since we're talking about money. Okay, your generosity plus our leader's integrity equals dynamic ministry. Okay, your generosity plus our leader's integrity equals dynamic ministry. All of that has to work together. If you pull integrity out, if you pull generosity out, ministry suffers. Okay, this is just important. And so I think you need to see where money goes. If you're a member here, if you're a regular attender here, I just wonder if you're a generous person. I mean, only you know, but I just want to challenge you because I think investment here has such power. Warren Buffett is a name probably you're familiar with. He's a 90-year-old businessman, investor, philanthropist. He's the chairman and CEO of Berkshire Hathaway. He was once the wealthiest man on earth. Now, he's not anymore. He's down to $100 billion, bless his heart. But he is scraping by. We're not going to take up a special offering today for him. I think he's going to be okay. But he made a statement about this. His goal before he dies is to give away 99% of his wealth. And this is what he said about why he's not leaving all that money to his kids. Now, he's given them plenty. We're not taking up an offering for them either, okay? They'll be fine. But this is what he said. After much observation of super wealthy families, here's my recommendation. Leave your children enough so they can do anything, but don't leave them enough that they can do nothing. You get it? Leave them enough that they can do anything they want to dream and hope and strive for. Don't leave them enough that they can sit around and do nothing. I thought that was pretty good advice. I like that. But he said something else several years ago about giving away all his wealth. This is what he said. There's more than one way to get to heaven, but this is a great way. And I hope he was kidding. Because if he thinks that's his ticket, he's in for a rude awakening. Right? Man, we know that you don't buy your way to heaven. We know that you can't give your way to glory. Right? But I will say this, friends, and I mean it. If you're on your way to heaven, I can't imagine being stingy on the way. I mean, seriously, if we're on the way to heaven, it's like you're on the way to, I got this $1 billion sitting in an account, I'm on my way to the bank, and I see somebody in need. Sorry, can't help you, I don't have much on me right now. You know what I'm saying? It's like if we're on our way there, how can we be stingy along the way. Back in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 19, Paul's talking about this special offering. And he says, this offering is a service that glorifies the Lord and also shows our eagerness to help. That when we give, it glorifies God, but it also gives us an expression of service to God. But also in chapter 9, it says, two good things result from giving gifts. The needs of the believers in Jerusalem are going to be met, and they will joyfully express gratitude to God. When we give, needs are met, and people are drawn to God. And so there's power in money. The integrity of our leaders protects the generosity so that it can have maximum impact. My friend Wayne Smith preached for 40 years in Lexington. Somebody asked him one time, Wayne, if I don't tithe, will I go to hell? And he said, probably not, but somebody will. And maybe you think he's being melodramatic, maybe you think he's being manipulative, but I think it's a fair statement. If we're not generous with our resources, things don't get done, and ultimately that could have an eternal impact as well. Your generosity plus our leader's integrity equals dynamic ministry. I heard a true story last Sunday about a man who spent $300 on one of those big plastic containers of Cheetos. $300. And get this, he did not eat a single Cheeto. He did not share a single one of them with any of his friends. And when he got home that night and he told his wife about it, she was happy. Can you imagine? Now you would look at that, you say, that guy must be crazy. His wife must be crazy. They've lost their minds. Well, you know, the story gets even crazier than that because he wasn't the only one that night who did it. See, if you remember, if you've been around this month, we've been talking about a men's event that was at Camp Calvary a week ago last night. About 14 of us from Nelson Christian Church went. After the dinner, after the program, there was an auction to raise money for the camp. And they had some firearms that they auctioned off. They had some hunting equipment. And they had this big plastic container of Cheetos. And somebody bought the Cheetos for $100 to help the camp and then donated it back so it could be auctioned off again. And somebody else bought it and donated it back. And they auctioned it off again. And somebody else bought it. And it came back. And the guy who paid the most was the $300 guy, but he was not alone. Other people kept buying that container of Cheetos. And maybe you look at that and you say, man, what a waste. You go to an auction, you spend $100, $200, $300, you come home empty-handed. What a waste. But we know differently, don't we? We understand that a container like that, when it makes $3,200 for the camp, making it the most valuable container of Cheetos in the history of the world. That is an investment in eternity. It's an investment in the next generation. It's an investment in kids who are going to know Jesus because somebody said, let's be generous. Generosity is never a waste when it's done in the name of Christ. It's not a waste. It's an investment. Let's pray. Well, God, we have resources because of your goodness. And as we dig into the scripture next week, part of what we're going to learn is that you bless us more so that we can be more generous. That you don't just bless us so that we can be rich, so that we can be lazy. That you give us an abundance so we can use it well. So God, help us to be wise. Help us to give well to your work, wherever it happens around the world. And God, I pray that as the folks here are generous, Lord, I pray for our leaders that we would have the wisdom to use it well. Thank you, God, that we get to be a part of what you do in this world. Use us to your glory, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen.